OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network.
I'm delighted to introduce our next guest is a footballer called Mark O'Brien. Mark, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Yeah, morning. Not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, good. So you've had a fairly remarkable story over the last decade, really. You played football with Newport County, is that right?
Yeah, that's where I've kind of finished my career for now. Yeah.
So you've just recently retired?
Yeah, I retired a couple of months back, obviously with medical reasons, like due to the heart issues I've had from since I was 16.
So maybe we'll start there then. That's not a bad place to start. At 16, you have heart issues. How serious were those heart issues?
It was like when I flew over from Dublin, from Cherry Orchard, literally done really well in my first season, made my debut at 16 at the end of that year. So I thought everything kind of went according to plan. And then the following season, I had heart screening, signing me scholarship. And one thing led to another where they found I had like a leak in aortic valve, which was something where it was tough to take. But at the beginning, they told me I would only need an operation in 50 years' time and there's nothing to worry about. It'll be later in life. Football will be finished. So I never really like took notice of it. But then the more scans I got, the worse it progressed with all my training and everything. So it went from 50 years to 20 years and then 20 years went to 10 years. And then I went to see a surgeon and he told me within the next 2 weeks. So everything was going to like deteriorating really quickly. And it was just one of them things. They gave me the open heart surgery and they said like that, it's not guaranteed I'll ever play football again. The valve might last you a year. It might last you a maximum of 5 years. And I just tried to give it everything I could. Like once they gave me that small glimmer of hope, I just jumped at it really. And I was lucky enough. And like I say, that's why I have no regrets over retiring, because I was lucky enough to get 10 years.
So this is all at Newport, is it?
No, when I was 16, I flew over to Derby County. And that was my first club. And then, as I said, through my career, I've had a couple of different clubs. I've had, I was at Luton, I was at Motherwell, and I was at Southport on loan, and then Newport for the last 3.5 years is where I kind of finished up my career.
And did it was the medical staff at Derby County who discovered the issues with your heart, was it?
Yeah, like the medical staff at Derby, once I had the heart screen and obviously picked up on it, and then I was wearing heart monitors and training and stuff like that, and as I was wearing the heart monitors, they were realising my heart rate was a lot higher than everyone else's. And then we just followed her up with more scans and we followed her up with more specialists. And we just thought, well, we might as well see what this is. And like I said, the more training I done and the more severe it was getting, it was an operation that happened. Like, obviously, it was out of my hands. Like, there was nothing I could have done about it. But as you say, it was one of them things. I was lucky that I actually flew over to England and had a chance of like playing in an academy to get these heart screenings, because like you say, if I was playing for Cherry Orchard on a Sunday league side, then I probably wouldn't have found out about it, and God knows what would have happened then.
So there's a possibility that you could have been playing football completely happy, wondering why you were a bit tired sometimes after games, that normally you would have been fine after, and then it deteriorates really quickly and all of a sudden you're dying, or you're like in a fairly bad way with emergency surgery.
Yeah, that's exactly the way the surgeon put it to me. I remember we went in and we sat in the room and with the surgeon, like, and this was after our doctors telling me I won't need an operation for 20 odd years, and I'm thinking football will be long gone by then. And then he sat me down in a room. There was me, my mum, my dad, and the Derby physio. And he came in with a model heart and he said, right, if you don't get this operation done within the next year, he said, you're more than likely going to die. And he said that to me at the age of 16. So like for me, it was like one of those moments where like you're thinking, he can't be speaking to me, he can't be saying this to me. And then he looked into his diary and I'm going in with the mindset of thinking I don't need an operation for 20 years. And he turned around and told me, you might have to have it in the next 2 weeks. And like I said, I was lucky enough that Derby did pick her up. And but it was just one of those things, my kind of career that started off with a debut at 16, felt as though I was getting dragged away from me.
For the first team? You played for the first team at Derby at 16?
Yeah, I made my debut when I first flew over from Dublin in that season. I made my debut last day of the season against Watford. I played like a half an hour. So I made my debut before I had the forced heart operation, which kind of gave me a taste of this is what I want to do, which probably gave me the drive to get back fit from the forced heart operation. But also, it felt like it was from one high to the worst low you could have of making my debut, thinking the following season was going to be a progression and get back in and do really well. And I had doctors telling me it was probably never going to happen, and you could give it your best shot, but don't be disappointed if you can't get back fit for professional football.
How much of that fortnight between sitting in the doctor's office and seeing him explain what the aortic valve actually does to a 16-year-old, how much of those 2 weeks do you remember, and what were they like?
I just remember when I had the meeting, like, because I was so young and naive, and that probably played in my favour, that the only questions I asked the surgeon was, can I play football? Like, that was the only thing that I've ever wanted to do, like, moving away from Dublin, was, can I play football? So it was the only question I asked him. And he was kind of reassured in a way, saying, well, yeah, you can play football, but I'm not sure if you get back to a professional standard. You can give it a go. It's not guaranteed. So I kind of always had that glimmer of hope in me to think, well, maybe I do have that opportunity to play professionally. He told me I probably can, so I'll give it my best shot. And then for those 2 weeks, Derby let me go home to Dublin for 2 weeks with, like, my family, friends and everybody. And for those 2 weeks, try and take my mind off it. But the closer was getting to it and the closer everything was getting to the operation, I just remember, like, it was just in my head thinking, right, I wish it was next week. I just want to get it out of the way. I just want to get myself over and done with. I just want this to be finished. I want to try and get back training. Like I say, being like 16 and young and naive, all I thought was, right, it's an operation to get myself back playing football. I didn't think of how severe it was, really.
And so it obviously was a success, and you do get back playing football, but how does that process actually work? What's that like to go through at 16 when your dreams are so high, like sky high at this stage? Obviously, you're dreaming of playing for Ireland, you know, you're dreaming of representing Ireland in international tournaments. You obviously are amongst the best at your age group if you're getting straight into the Derby team, and they rate you very highly. In the aftermath of the surgery, what's going through your mind at that point?
After the surgery, I remember, like, I had a couple of the Irish lads in Derby at the time came up to visit me in hospital. And, like, Jeff Hendrick was one of them. And I remember we were sitting there talking, and they were, like, trying to reassure me. And they were saying, oh, everything will be fine. Like, you'll be grand. You'll get yourself back to normal and everything will be all right. And then once they left, knowing that they were leaving to go back down into training and to go back, I remember I just broke into tears, and like, I was sitting there thinking, like, why did this have to happen to me? Why can't I be the one going to train? Why can't I do this? And it was like, it was tough to take at first. But when I got sent home to Dublin, the operation was in October, so I went home for October, November and the Christmas. And I remember, like, I had Nigel Clough phone me up, and he was making sure I was doing me walking and making sure I was doing things properly. And like I said, once I flew back in January to Derby, they start working with me straight away. Like, I was going out for, like, slow jogs. I was slowly building myself back up. And I was lucky enough then that I had the operation in October, and I was back playing in the youth team. And I was back playing in the U team by April, which was a quick enough turnaround, which not many people thought that would have happened. But like I said, I had that kind of drive in me to say, right, the hospital are giving me a chance. I'm okay now. My valve is fine. I'm just going to, like, try and train and work as hard as I can to get back to some sort of fitness and see if it works out. And the more that I was training and playing, the better I was feeling. And then that last day of the season, the first team played Cardiff at home, and I made the bench for the first team at the end of that season that I had the heart operation.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, like, it it sounds like one of these stories that doesn't seem so real, but the more people I've spoken to about this story, like, I've only ever seen it as this is the life I've lived. Like, I've never seen it as a story to try and set, like, tell or speak about. I've only ever just lived this. So me speaking about this is me just, like, speaking about what, like, what I actually been through. So it does seem a bit crazy at times when I do think back at things. But also, like I said, I've had, like, great memories in football, like, growing up through all the Young Ireland ages. Like, I had those dreams of wanting to represent my country. I've seen, like, my mates that I've played with along in the Ireland youth systems, like the likes of John Egan and Matt Doherty and Jeff Hendrick and all people like that, Robbie Brady. And I see all them playing, and I always thought to myself, do you know what? Like, I've played in all the same age groups as them. If they can do it, I want to do it. I want to be able to do it. And like I said, it's been unfortunate with circumstances on my end, but also I look at them and I just think, like, I couldn't be prouder that I see, like, mates go on and do so great for that country and obviously club level as well.
Can I just ask you about, like, this might seem callous, but how are you actually playing when you came back? Like, what quality did you feel you were at? Like, were you close to what you were before the surgery? Was it almost seamless, the recovery?
No, it wasn't seamless. Like, when I got back, I remember, like, I was going into training and, like, I was still trying to be myself, but I knew, like, my fitness wasn't there. So, like, when I'd be joining in pre-seasons, I'd be at the back of every last run. So that was always kind of in my own head thinking, right, I'm still not fit. I'm still nowhere near fitness. But then I don't know what it was. Like I said, it's probably being 16. Once I went into playing a game and playing a game, like, I think my first game back was we played Man United, like, under 18s in the youth system, and we played them away, and that was my very first game back, and that was around April time. And the minute I just went into a 90 minutes, I forgot everything about my heart, and I went back into the mode of, right, I'm going to throw myself in front of this, I'm going to win headers, I'm going to make tackles. And it's only after the game you start thinking of everything again. So, like, football for such a long time now has been such a distraction for me that I never realised how much of a distraction it was for me to help me recover and do things properly. And like I said, it seemed seamless once I started playing football again, but the whole build-up and the fitness side of things was very hard to go through, and it was basically starting from scratch again. You had to learn how to walk a long distance before you start jogging. You had to learn how to jog a long distance before you started sprints, and I had to go back into a gym and try and build myself back up. Like, you lose so much weight, and like you say, it's something that takes a lot out of you. But I had good people around me, and I had the Derby physio, Neil Sullivan at the time, was perfect with me. Like, I couldn't fault anything. And then, like you say, when you have the support of your family and your friends and everyone back home, you just get this, like, hunger inside you that if like, I felt as though I had that small glimmer of playing again, and I just thought, well, do you know what, I'm going to take it with both hands, and all I can do is see what happens. And thankfully it worked out.
What year did you have the surgery?
I think I had the surgery, I think it was 2009 or 10.
Right.
It was about 10, 11 years ago. And yeah, so like I said, like, within that time, I had the surgeons telling me, like, the valve isn't guaranteed to last you. It's going to last you from 1 year to 5 years maximum. So I just thought, like, each year I would get a heart scan. So, like, each year after that, I would get a routine heart scan. And then whatever came from that heart scan would tell me if I was able to play the following season or not. So I had that for 10 years straight.
Right. And pardon my ignorance on this, is the valve safe now? Is it, or at some point do you have to get that replaced?
No, that's the thing. When was it? 4 months ago, I just had my second open heart surgery.
Right.
So that's the reason I had to retire, because the valve after 10 years stopped. Well, wasn't that it stopped working? It just does something where it starts to slow down a lot of things and it calcifies, which means it gets really like hard. So the pressure from your blood going through your heart can cause a bit of damage and stuff. So it's just something that needs to be replaced. So 4 months ago in July, just gone July 2nd, I had my second open heart surgery, and that's the reason I had to retire.
And could you feel the closer you got to retirement, Mark, that that valve was wearing down, or did you feel under more pressure the further you got away from that initial surgery?
Not really, to be honest, because like I said, I always knew in the back of my head, and like nobody in football knew this about me until like if someone was to play alongside me or someone was in the same team. Nobody knew I had to get a scan once a year to find out if I was able to play the following season. So I always knew my career could end by 1 year, or it could last me 10 years, it could last me 5 years. Like, I never knew. So my love for football was basically, I'm going to enjoy every single year of playing, do the best I can do, and have no regrets about it. And that's the only thing that I've done throughout. And like I said, I was lucky enough to get the 10 years rather than having the 5 years that the hospital expected from me. And like you say, the longer it does go on, the more it kind of does dwell on you to think, right, it's been about 7 years now, this valve is going to be close. And then it'll go 8 years, 9 years, and you're thinking, this valve is going to be close. So like I said, to get 10 years out of it, I was lucky enough. And it's something where you don't feel yourself getting more tired and you don't feel yourself getting anything. It's just because you start understanding what feels right and what doesn't feel right. I remember we went into lockdown in March just gone, and I was going out cycling every single day. And then one night I just felt like a strange palpitation in my chest. So I found our club doctor, and as I spoke with him, I just asked him, like, I'm feeling this strange like palpitation in my chest, I can't lay on my left hand side. And he was like, all right, well then, we said, we'll just get you scanned to make sure everything's all right. And then that one scan in March confirmed that my valve is leaking again, that I have to retire and I needed an operation. So like you say, it's something that like you don't know when it's going to happen, but when it does, it needs to get sorted, because it's one of them things that deteriorates quicker, well, a lot more quicker than you think.
How did it feel to get that news then, that this would be something that would end your playing career?
It was, at the time when I kind of knew, like, I obviously got upset and I was like, didn't know what to do. But also, when you know you have major surgery coming, not playing kind of takes a back seat. So, it's more not playing has hit me after the operation. Now that I'm feeling like a lot better, and now that I'm more active, and now that like everything is going like in my direction and everything's going well for me, the fact of not playing now and trying to find that different purpose of, right, I'm not going to be playing on a Saturday, so what else can I do? I'm not going to train every day, so what else can I do? And it has been difficult. Like, I've had some panic attacks along the way, and I've had like a lot of ups and downs where there's days that I want to leave the apartment. Like, and like I said, this pandemic doesn't help. Obviously, after going through an operation and then you have a pandemic, and it all, like, everything was just hitting me at once. And I remember I was just getting panic attacks that I never had before. And It was like a scary time the last couple of months, but now like I've found myself back in a routine. The club, like Newport and themselves, have helped me massively. Our club doctor, Daniel Vaughan, I don't think without him reassured me and helping me, I would have been in a lot more of a difficult place mentally, because all the little twinges and feels and should I be feeling this and should I feel that, I had him reassuring me constantly. And like I said, he became like a massive part of everything that has gone on. And I've been lucky enough to like have someone like him. But then also, like you say, the club have helped me massively. Like, I go in and look at the analysis. I kind of sit in the background staff, and I kind of sit there and go through games with the analysis fella. And I sit there and I'll watch games and I'll give my little input on what I think, or if I've played against these players, what are they like physically, what are they like, and all different stuff like that. But it's mainly just to kind of keep me in and around football, and also to keep me mind active to what I'm missing in training every day. I'm actually able to keep my mind like active now, and it's helping a lot more. And it's as well as that, on a match day, when the lads play at home, I do the commentary for the iFollow that like all the fans watch. So, like I said, I'm just doing little bits here and there to try and find out like what my interests are, because the last 10 years of my life, all I've ever known is football.
So were you actually having panic attacks and anxiety while you were playing, but putting it down to a heart issue?
When I was playing, like, I never had anxiety. Like, the only anxiety I ever had while playing was going out for a match on a Saturday. Like, I didn't want to make a mistake, and you don't want to be at fault for a goal. Like, you have to play your best. And putting myself under pressure, like what any footballer would do. Like, and you build up those nerves inside you, and to have those nerves gives you the adrenaline to go out and play. And, like, so it was never anything that I ever thought of. And then you go out and play the 90-minute game, and, like you say, the anxieties and everything are gone. So, like, you don't even realise that you've got them. It's only been now that I don't have that distraction from football. It's been a lot more difficult because I don't have anything to take my mind away from all the thoughts that might be coming into my head, like the what-ifs and what's this feeling in my chest, and, it's tough to walk up flights of stairs. Like, all these different panics. And then, like you say, with the pandemic and everything, and like I could turn around and wake up one morning and go, oh, I have a sore throat, or do you know what, like everything just runs through your head for no apparent reason. But I have no outlet. Like, I've had no like kind of out to say, right, I'm gonna go training, or I'm gonna go play a match, and then it's all forgotten about. And that's the part I've struggled with a lot more than the physical side of things on this whole recovery.
Does having come through it once make it easier or harder?
I think after coming through it once, it's hard to kind of judge it between the two, because when I was 16, I didn't have a clue what was going on. All I thought in my own head was, I'm going to get to play football after this, so let's just get it out of the way. Let's just get it done. I'll be fine. Everything will be fine. So going through at that time, I felt as that was probably a lot more easier than what it is this time, because I'm a lot more aware of everything, and you understand what the doctors say to you. You understand the whole severity of it. You understand the ups and downs, like, and all these other different little things that at 16 would just go over my head. I was understanding everything. And obviously, with this virus that's going around, I wasn't able to have family in the hospital, and I wasn't able to have anybody in the hospital to visit me. Like, I spent 4 or 5 weeks in the hospital all by myself. So when the doctors have to tell you news, they're telling you directly to your face. Whereas when I was 16, they had to tell me family everything. They didn't tell me anything because I wouldn't understand. But now when they tell you everything, and you're understanding so many more things, and like you say, it's more of a, the older I got and the more you do understand what's happening to you, the scarier it got, rather than when I was 16, all I wanted to do was play football.
You obviously took the decision to speak out, not just about your retirement from football, but about the mental health aspects of this as well recently. What has that experience been like? Have you felt a little bit unburdened? Have you felt support? Has it been anxiety inducing in and of itself? Like, were you anxious before doing this morning?
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, like, I always get anxious before speaking, because it's like, the only way I described it to people when I was actually saying about speaking out about myself is that anything that I've ever spoken to, like, if I've spoken to a newspaper, I've spoken to anything, was always about a big game coming up. If we were playing Man City in the FA Cup, if the lads were doing really well, if we made the playoff final, everything was always football. And now it's strange for me, because I'm actually speaking about myself, and it's something that through my whole career I've never liked doing. I've never liked speaking about, if like I was speaking about my heart problems, or speaking about actually feeling nervous about things. Like, I never spoke about stuff like that, because I was always someone that, like, I never wanted the sympathy act. I never wanted people to pity me. I never wanted people to give me an easy way through. So, like, when I was 16, from there on, I just wanted people to treat me as a normal footballer. I didn't want to get, like, kind of the easy pass because, oh, well, he's had heart surgery, and we need to take it easy on them. Like, I just wanted to be treated normally. And kind of what struck me about like that was after my operation, I had Stuart McCall, who signed me at Motherwell, and he spoke to me and he sent me a text saying, just read your article, it's brilliant. I didn't even know that you had to get a scan year to year to make sure your heart was fine. It's a remarkable story. You should be proud of yourself. And that's a manager who signed me, who didn't know anything about like my heart issues and stuff like that. And so me, I always like to keep my private life to myself, and I always used to just speak football. And it's only like I said, family and friends that would know. Like growing up, like I've always been like a person that would worry a lot. Like if I was going to be late for football, I'd worry about being late, and I'd worry about making mistakes in football. I used to always put so much pressure on myself, but now I put pressure on myself more these days since the retirement of, I need to feel better quicker. I need to do this better. I need to like get myself in a routine. I need to do this. And like I said, it's like a substitute for what I was like when I played football to what I am now. And as you say, it's speaking out has helped, because I've had a lot of people like speak to me, and I've had the club who have helped me out massively. And like, as you say, I've spoken with friends back home in Dublin, and then they're telling me, oh, well, I used to have that a couple of years back. And to realise that like your own friends that you've probably known your whole life and you never realised they had panic attacks, and then the minute I speak out about mine, he finds it safer to speak to me now because he's gone through the same thing. And it goes to show that like the minute I did speak out, I didn't realise the amount of people that do suffer out there that don't want to speak. So then that's why I thought, well, do you know what? Like if I'm in a position where I actually can get my version out, and somebody who doesn't like talking or doesn't like speaking out can see that it's not just them who are going through it, like an ex-professional footballer has gone through it, or somebody who like they might look up to has gone through it. Like I'm like I've always been up there and I'm willing to help anybody, because like I said, I've never experienced it before. And if people are going through this on a weekly basis, a daily basis, like I say, I'd speak out about anything, because like I said, it's the way I've lived. And speaking about myself and the way I lived is something that I do find a bit difficult, but I would do that if that meant to help, actually help another person along the way.
I think it will.
What else for you personally, Mark? Like you mentioned routine there. Is that one of the things? Obviously, your communication and stuff is so important, but I'm sure there's plenty of people who would appreciate whatever helped for you during this lockdown, considering it was so accentuated for you personally.
Yeah, like you say, it is just one of them things. Like during this lockdown and the way things have gone, like I've had so much support from people, and I've had so many people try and help me out. Like even till this day, I still get loads of people help me out. Like, and it was kind of heartwarming to me that like when the news came out of me retiring, I had like a lot of people message me, and I had lads message me that I've never met before in my life, but I've only played against them on a pitch in 90 minutes. And I never knew, like, because I always kept myself so private, or I always kept myself to myself so many times, I never knew I kind of impacted on so many people, where like you say, I had Derby fans speak to me, I had Newport fans like message me, I had like managers who I've played under, I've had managers who I played against, I've had players that I've played against. And like you say, I never realised that people like remembered me, like that I actually left a name for myself, or I felt like credible. And as well as all that, like through all this, like getting those kind of messages has kind of spurred me on and has kind of helped me. But as you said, like staying in routine is something that like I've always known my whole life. Like you get up in the morning, you go out to train, you come back from training, you could go to get a coffee, but then you knew what you were doing month to month, because football was always that kind of structure. Monday to Friday, you knew what you were doing. game on a Saturday, day off Sunday, and then you'll just keep continuing that. And when that's been a part of my life for the last 10 years, now all of a sudden, without knowing it was going to end this year, it's ended, and you find yourself out of routine, and you find yourself with a lot more time in your hands. And I was trying to like figure out, how am I going to get this routine back? And like I said, then once I spoke out, and once I've been speaking and going down to the club a lot more and helping out around there and doing the commentaries on the weekend, has kind of put me back in that mental frame of having a routine. And I find myself progressing so much better now, because I'm not sitting around half as much, or I'm not thinking about things. I'm more thinking about, right, when we go into like look at this team or the analysis, like what players are doing the right things. And then when I come home, I kind of watch a lot of football now, where I probably never watched half as much when I was playing, but I watch loads of it now because I miss it. And you're looking at games in a different way now, and I'm looking at games in more of a, oh, well, he likes to play this way, and this is the formation they could play. And it's just all different experiences that, like, I'm more excited over now than I am feeling sorry for myself. And I've never been someone to feel sorry for myself. And it's something where now that I'm able to see that kind of light at the end of the tunnel, where I'm enjoying what I'm doing and I'm finding these new experiences, it's helping me massively recovery-wise and mentally.
Yeah, well, I've no doubt that just telling the story here this morning is going to introduce you to a whole new Irish audience who, as you say, wouldn't have had a clue about what was going on in the past. Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck with your recovery, and what sounds like it's going to be an exciting career in football ahead of you as well. So thanks a million for talking to us this morning, Mark.
Cheers, thanks very much.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.